Welcome to the Women in Business Radio Show with Sian Murphy, connecting women in business around the globe.
Hello and welcome into the Women in Business Radio Show studio. I'm Sian Murphy. My co-host is
Adele Martin.
And in the studio with us today, we have got the lovely, and I'm saying the lovely because we know Jane. We know Jane well from seeing her at meetings. We've got the lovely Jane Martin. She is a business connector. She is a business solution solver. And she is also the founder of JAM Marketing and Hospitality Management. So welcome into the studio, Jane.
Good morning.
So we are going to be having later on a lively discussion with Jane about all sorts of things. We're going to be finding out what a business connector is and why you might need one. And also we're going to be having a chat about trusting your instincts. And I think instincts is something that's been coming up a lot recently, isn't it?
Yeah, we had a big theme, haven't we, about trusting your gut instinct and why didn't we? So yeah, it was interesting to see again.
And we're also going to be hearing Jane's story. We're going to be chatting to her. We're going to be finding out what she does and who she does it with and the general sort of ups and downs, the general ups and downs of business. But let's get started with, I've got notes, you see, I'm dangerous. I'm a woman. I'm a woman with notes now and I don't know what to do. It would help if I could see them, but I've got the wrong glasses on.
Oh no, where are they?
It has to be these ones, but okay. I can't read with these. So now I've got notes that I can't actually see and I'm not used to having notes, but never mind. We have to get more organised. So how can you listen to us, Adele?
So you listen to all the usual places. We've got Spotify, iTunes. We've even got enabling the Alexa skill and across all the usual places you listen to your podcasts.
You can also listen to us on Audible. If you go into Audible and search for the Women in Business Radio Show, we will pop up. Yeah. You can listen to us on Audible, which also means that you can listen to Audible through Alexa. Mm. So you can ask Alexa to play us. I don't often do. I did it once, actually. It was quite unnerving to hear me coming out of the Alexa machine. It also I got quite a strange reaction from grandchildren and dogs as well. But we won't go into that later. We'll chat about that another time. So, where are we now?
Announcements.
Fire away.
So we have our Women in Business Big Show in August next year, where we are updating our format, aren't we? So we're going for something a little bit different.
Yes, and it's quite fortuitous that we mention this today. I mean, we mention it every week, but we're mentioning it specifically today because Jane also works very closely with the FSB, which is the Federation of Small Businesses, which is a fantastic opportunity based in the UK. And the Federation of Small Businesses, we are blessed because the Federation of Small Businesses actually sponsor the Women in Business Big Show, which is a real honour for me, actually. It's a real little bit of kudos. So we're so proud of that. So, you know, thank you to the FSB and Jane for supporting that event, because it's a bit traumatic sometimes.
It's a big event.
It's quite a tricky event to put on. So we're very grateful to everybody who supports us, but especially the FSB. Mm. And what else have we got?
We have our Women in Business Radio Show Community Club that launches in early January.
We're still trying to work out a name for this, actually. So we wanted to have the Women in Business Radio Show in there because it is around the Women in Business Radio Show. It's about the things that we've learned. It's about the guests that we have on it. Mm. And it's very much, you know, this club, the community club, has very much grown up out of that and out of...
Talking to guests
about what they feel, talking to best guests about what they need, and also listeners, but also about Adele and I working together. That's sort of how it came about, that we realised it was actually quite a good fit and we had totally different skill sets. So, you know, I'm sort of about business and about planning and what's going wrong. And Adele, nobody would ever come to me and say, Sian, can you help me with my fitness regime? But Adele, and that's what Adele does, you know, she's
fit for business. She keeps
people fit for business, and fit for business is a section that we have in the Women in Business Big Show. So that's about confidence. It's about all sorts of things. Mm. It's also about, you know, eating right for what you want and what you need, but also just doing the right amount of exercise. So Adele is a bit extreme. I mean, if you've seen pictures of Adele, you said we aren't. It's not that. It's just about keeping mobile and getting stronger and keeping your muscles stronger, especially as you get older.
It was, and it's,
I suffer a bit. So I'm getting older.
I spoke to this, you know, last week I spoke to two women who were really suffering, and they're business women. And I talk about this all the time. 32% of women, and we know because, again, FSB have supported my menopause event, leave their business. I spoke to two women last week, one in corporate and one a business owner, are so close to throwing it in. So this is real. And it is about being fit for business. Yeah. But no, it's not extreme, but it's just helping you, you know, not be one of those 32% of women in business who walk away.
And it's also about, it's about being normal as well. Yeah. I'll tell you what, there is nobody in this, if anybody says awesome, they're going to have to leave.
Okay. A few words on the wall. We're
not going to be awesome. We are not going to be phenomenal all the time. Stuff is going to go wrong.
Yeah.
There will be wine, probably. But it's just about sort of being normal and being, you know, just sort of having the life that you need to have alongside your business.
Yeah.
I'm fed up with people talking about being amazing and phenomenal, and people who've built an underwear business to £10 million, you know, and they started on Sunday night and it's now Monday morning. It's not
That's not real.
You know, it's not real, and it's not sustainable. And for me, we have to build a life. Our life has to, my life is my business. My business is my life, and that means it has to be sustainable, and in there that has to be fun,
yeah.
And it all has to be managed, and it all has to go together. But I also have to keep fit without anything becoming extreme.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this may not sound like a great sales point, but it's normal. It's for normal people. Okay, where are we now? We've done that, haven't we? We haven't got a name for it, but it's the Women in Business Radio Show Community. It starts on the 14th of January. Just for the moment, it is it's in person. There is only an in-person event. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at Dragon Co-working. Thank you so much for Dragon Co-working and Roland Stanley for supporting us. He's absolutely fantastic. It's a super, super co-working community. He does so much to support the businesses in there, and he does an awful lot to help me. And I'm very grateful. And we have this fantastic space with breakout areas, spaces where you can do little private bits, you know, in small groups, or we can all get together and it can be a big group. There's so much flexibility around the space that we've got there. So thank you so much, Roland and Dragon Co-working. We've done that now, haven't we?
Yeah, we've done the announcement.
One day we're going to... We need some sort of, like, follow-on, don't we, from one section to another. Shall we start on the what are we doing and reading thing?
What are you reading next?
I've actually got something, but do you want to go first?
Okay. So I'm not actually reading at the moment because I'm doing a lot of moving around, so I've switched to podcasts.
We need to change this because that to me is the same thing.
Yeah.
What are you like reading or listening to?
Yeah, so I've been listening to podcasts, and again, I've been listening to one by Zoe Nutrition, and I've been looking at gut and mental health, because again, gut instinct and mental health. I just like the Zoe podcast, says they're non-biased, they're, you know, they're just good information. So I've been listening to a few of those while I've been flying around in the car this week.
Jane, what are you reading this week, listening to...
What am I doing this week? I've been—I'll be honest with you—I've been so busy that I've had no time to do very much reading. I started a few weeks ago. How to harness your expertise and put that online. I'm very interested over the Christmas period at looking to take part of my business to ebooks and webinars online, and so I'm just reading a lot about that at the moment because it's a very new area for me.
It's a sort of thing. I'm going to go and have a look at that because it's the sort of thing that is, I think, overwritten about. I think there are so many topics, courses, books, ebooks, podcasts, articles about setting up membership sites, setting up publishing your ebooks, and I quite like the sound of that. It sounds sort of simple, like it's taken out some of the fluff,
yeah, and the noise around it,
yeah. So I might we will have a look at that. So it's how to harness your expertise and put it online.
Yeah,
I like that. Thank you very much. I'm actually listening to something this week,
yeah.
And it's really, really good. It's absolutely fascinating. So fascinating that I haven't written it down. It's a podcast. I've probably got in. No, it's not. Sorry, it's an. I've got it as an audio book. There's probably enough of it here, the information, for you to go and find it. It's by a woman called Meadow something or other, and it's called The Worthy Project.
And I've heard of that. Yeah.
It's about how we show ourselves that we're basically not worthy of things by really quite simple things like, what does our front door look like? What is our bedroom like? What does your dinner plate look like? And how we diminish ourselves, make ourselves smaller. Apply, you know, I'm too fat for this, I'm too this for that, and basically don't take up the space that we should take up, how we give stuff away, you know, which is something so often that we do in business, but we're also in our personal lives, you know, how much are we giving and not getting anything back? It's a fascinating read.
Just found that. I've just found it literally as you were speaking. Yeah. I love that, by Meadow Devour.
That's it.
And I've got it as an audio book because she's got a really she reads it herself and she's got a really nice voice, and there are sort of stories in there where you can sort of really picture how some of this worked, how it worked with her clients. There's also a very honest story about her own financial situation and about how she came out about that. And was expecting that she wouldn't have any clients left at all, but actually found that people really appreciated how honest she was being and how it was an inspiration for people. It's an excellent book, actually. Excellent. So that's what I'm doing. Have you stopped fiddling, dear?
I was looking at it. It's just really good.
It is.
We haven't put that in the show notes.
Yeah, it is.
Only because we hear a lot of reoccurring theme around that, don't we? We have coffee chats. We give things away for free. So,
shall I tell you what struck me, actually, when I did one of the exercises that she suggests, which is that you take a photo of things so that you look at them objectively, I suppose. You don't look at them through the filter of how you normally see them. And one of the things, so she says, do that about your front door because you come in and out of it all of the time. I haven't taken a photo of my front door, but I did do what she said. And I'm going to be quite honest here. One of them was that you take a picture of your bed and sort of just you know, in the bed, that you just do it straight away, that you don't make it, that you don't do anything, you don't plump the cushions up, you just take a picture of it. And that's what I did. I was sat in bed listening to this and I took a picture. And what I saw when I looked at this picture was that there was towels sort of on a chair. And it doesn't sound like the end of the world, but I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it. And it was just a place where I hadn't taken care and I didn't like the way it looked. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about some big festering pit or anything.
No, it's the little things, isn't it?
Or anything. Yeah. But it was just something that, for me, really annoyed me. And actually, what I should do, if I want to hang a towel there, is either not hang it there, but if I do want to hang it there, is to have something to hang it on, not just put it over the bedroom chair. Because that, I actually found, I don't know, it was like I was lazy. I know it's a bit damp, so, you know, it was just, it's just interesting. That is not a particularly interesting side of things, what I've just said. It doesn't sound like much. But go and have a listen to it. Some of it's absolutely fascinating. And you'll be able to go, oh, yes, okay. There are some real sort of simple little revelations in there. It actually turned out to be quite big things.
I like that.
I've been waffling on too long, haven't I?
No, it's a good book.
Shall we go on to what have you learnt this week?
Yes.
What have you learnt this week?
So I have learnt this week diary drift. Okay. So every 90 days I review the diary and set it. And where are we? We're literally coming to the end of this quarter. And then all of a sudden I learnt this week. It's like, why is that not working? And I'm like, oh, diary drift. Because, do you know my worst habit? So I will run my diary on my desktop. And when you're out and about, yeah, you pick up your phone and you grab Google Calendar and other calendars or whatever you're using. You put something in. And actually, what that's done is it's actually caused some diary drift. And I had some conflicts, and I'm thinking, I don't feel right. What's going on? I don't feel great. And I was set back. I got back to my desktop, and I thought, diary drift. diary do you have? Adele, you've got to stop, you know, just, you know, do not have to rush because somebody says X, Y, and Z. Just note it and just watch that diary. Because what that then did, it caused a ripple effect of other stresses that added to something because I just let the diary drift. And that's also a clue, as I know I'm coming to the end of the 90 days, this sprint, and actually I'm going to reset that diary. And I've said, no, I'm not going to, on the hop, shove something in the diary off an iPhone where you see slightly part of your diary and actually the knock-on effect caused a crap week. Diary drift is what I've learned. There is such a disease. Well, I've got it.
Yes. That and referring to yourself by Adele, which is I always think.
I was angry with myself. I think, what on earth has caused this conflict?
Yes.
Yes.
Moving swiftly on.
I'll set myself on the naughty stick.
Jane, what have you learnt this week? Anything?
What have I learnt this week? Well, that's a really good question. I'm just trying to think. Have I learnt anything? I've learnt this week just to take it much easier myself. So I've learned basically that it's okay, what Adele was talking about, if you can't manage everything. Mm. I have, at the moment, probably 30, 40 separate appointments with small businesses every week. And you're just rushing from appointment to appointment, trying to follow up. And what I've learned is it's okay just to phone up a couple and say, listen, can we reschedule this meeting? Can we just reschedule this meeting because I want to have a bit more time for you? And everybody always says yes because they're also busy. Mm. So I've learned not to be too hard on myself.
Mm. I like that. Good one. I've joined Headspace. I got that app, Headspace. I have. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go into that. It's actually better than I thought it was going to be. But one of the things that I realised is I've, for as long as I can remember, and that's quite a few years now, it's coming up for 60 years, had a problem with a morning routine. I mean, just sort of like get up and run around until I can't do that anymore and just sit back down. this is not an effective way to start your day. And I realised that the reason I haven't been able to build in a routine is because I don't have a routine. I know that sounds a bit... That's, because you say, OK, I'm going to meditate or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, but then you don't know how you're going to do that. So how are you going to meditate? Do you have a script? Are you just going to sit there for 10 minutes? Have you got something you're going to go through? Whereas Headspace have like a routine for your day where you check in with yourself. And just having that, so there's a little video that they showed. Today was about conifers. You know, there's a little meditation, like two to three minutes meditation. Then there's a little bit of information about something that you that's visually quite nice. And this was the conifers was quite good, a little bit of a story around how they reproduce and all that sort of thing. And then there was another 10-minute meditation. And they're all there. And there's a little tick. It's so organised. You do that one, little tick, you do the next one. And it was just really easy. So if you're struggling to build a morning routine in, perhaps it's because you don't actually know what to do when you wake up. You've left it too late. And you just need somebody to give you, or you need to plan the night before. What are you going to do? Where is it going to come from? If you are going to meditate, you're going to sit there on your Todd, or are you going to actually play something? If you are going to play something, where is it? Because it's no good shuffling through apps trying to find the one that you are going to use. I've done this before. Mm. And you just end up getting cross, frustrated, and actually spending half the morning when you've just woken up looking at your phone. Mm. Whereas, yes, this is on the phone, but you just go through it. So a routine is about not having to make decisions. Cut the decision-making process out and the routine just sort of happens.
Well, I do have a routine, if I may say. It's called a dog.
yeah, but it's the same thing. It's cut the decisions out, yep. Hasn't it? There isn't a decision. The dog needs to go out, be fed, do whatever, and that's it.
And they tell you when they want to go. Yeah. So you've got no choice.
Yeah, but that's perfect, isn't it? And I don't think it matters what your routine is, as long as you have one.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I never thought I'd say that.
Can you say it again?
No. Sorry. That's enough compromise for one year.
Love
I'm
it.
Done.
Love it.
OK, Okay, moving swiftly on. What's gone wrong this week? I think, have we already done this? It's all right, we've got a new section. So we always ask our guests what their biggest failure is and what's their superpower. Well, for Adele and I, we can't have a biggest failure, not every week, but we can have something that's gone wrong.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to link it back to the diary drift. So there was an element of diary drift. And then when I went into panic, I didn't say no to something and I should have done. So what went wrong is I didn't say no. And then I caused myself a lot of rework. But linking back to what Jane said, when I went back to the individual, said, look, apologies, I can't do this, but I can do this. So yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And the next question is, what worked out this week? Yeah. How have you used your superpower this week? I'm not sure if that was using your superpower, but it was. You went and you sorted it out. Yeah, you did something.
I hit it head on and said, actually, this is a situation. If that meeting's important, they would understand and it would move. And sometimes I think the fear of rejection and what they would say was, shit, they went, yes, that's fine. You're like, oh, okay, it's done.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, good.
Jane, not this week. What is your biggest failure? And I tell you why we do this, because every now and then somebody will criticise this. God, there's no such thing as failure. Yes, there damn well is. If you set a goal and you don't hit it, you failed. Sorry. But I think it's really important that sometimes, as businesswomen, we acknowledge that it's okay to cock up, that it's okay for it to go all horribly wrong, that other people cock up as well. But, you know, we learn and we move forward. So, just generally, what's your biggest failure?
Failure, I don't know what that is.
Yes, you do. We all do.
I think my biggest failure has been not taking small opportunities. We're always looking for the big opportunity, but not taking the small ones as they've come along.
Oh, that's different. Mm. Oh, like, have you got an example?
Yeah, so for example, you're looking for the big client. When you start in business, you're looking for the big client, the ones that bring in the big bucks, and you tend to have all these smaller businesses and smaller opportunities coming along the way, and they may not be the big income earners, but they're the people that keep you going. And there were, at the beginning, you're always looking for the big opportunity, but it's the small opportunities that really support your business and keep you going.
That's a really difficult I think that's a really difficult thing to work out, actually, because you could be looking for the big people because they're the ones with a lot of money. On the other hand, if you're not careful, instead of getting the small opportunities, you get the cheaper. You get the cheaper. So the people who want the big stuff but want to pay the small money, that's not what we're talking about here, is it? We're just talking about people that you may need lots of them, and you're doing something. You're delivering and getting value. So you're delivering a fair service and getting a fair payment. You're just doing it for more of them than some massive sort of thing that comes your way. I like that. Do you know, we've not had that, have we?
But I like that because you're absolutely true. Because sometimes, Sian said before, we see all the sponsored feeds, you can be £10 million in 3 days. What we've done is we've telling women to look for those big opportunities, and actually that is that small. I really like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that.
Thank you. That's different. We like different.
That's because
So, what is your superpower?
My ability for people to believe, my believe in me. I can convince people. I'm good at convincing people. And when I say convincing, I don't mean trying to sell people something.
I mean, I get that.
I build trust. Mm. And I think that that's my greatest asset, is that people, I think I'm doing this as I speak. It's the open hands. And I think people know that I'm honest, straight honest. And it comes across. So I think that's my greatest asset.
Mm, I like that. Yeah. Yes. And I would say, sort of knowing you, that yes, that's true.
I would say absolutely. We've had the pleasure of seeing you quite a bit, actually, in meetings, and both online and also in the room. And yeah, I'd echo that. And people always say that about you.
And I know, I do trust you. I know if I said something to you and said, this is between, you know, this is just us, that you wouldn't be gossiping about it. Yes, okay. I'm
not going to tell anybody about your bed. No. You've already done it yourself.
But recognising it, the skill is actually in recognising that that's your superpower. Mm. Thank you for sharing that. That is different. Mm. Have I had a failure this week? It's difficult to know where to start, actually, to be honest. I don't think I have. I can't think of one in particular, to be honest. So I'm going to skip on me because I want to move us on to the discussion topic, actually. So I want to introduce Jane properly, and we're going to find out a little bit about what it is that she does. So I'm just going to read some of the bits and pieces here that I've got about Jane. So Jane is founder of JAM Marketing and Hospitality Management. So thinking here, we can pick her brains over
This is a little bit about therapy for us too, isn't it?
That's right.
We're a bit self-indulgent,
we can take everything she knows about that, so that'll be good.
We'll like that.
And is a business connector and a business solution solver. Now, I know that you also, you know, you work with the FSB. Can you tell us a little bit about sort of you as Jane, not necessarily in your pigeonhole with the FSB or in your pigeonhole with JAM Marketing, but sort of what you do and how those two things fit together and how you bring your skills in. And just as if it wasn't complicated enough, the sorts of people that you work with.
Well, thank you very much, first of all, ladies, for giving me the opportunity. So I started in business in my own business in 2001. But when I look back, when I was walking the dog this morning and I was thinking about this show, I was thinking, when did I start having aspirations to be self-employed? And that was when I was about 14 or 15. And for me, it was clear that I was always going to do something in business and be self-employed. So it goes back to that time. My background is hospitality. I started in hospitality and did every kind of job possible. And what I liked about hospitality, and has formed my future, is about helping people. And that might sound a bit cliche, but being in hospitality, your aim is always to keep your customers, your guests coming back. And you can only do that if you continue to add value. So that's what I started to do when I started my hospitality consulting business after I was finished with running hotels and restaurants and bars. And the idea was to genuinely help them with being more successful. So that's how that started. And in 2019, I decided that I was going to join the Federation of Small Business as a membership advisor to have that as a secondary income and to help my small businesses that I was helping in the hospitality consulting. And then, of course, this little thing called COVID appeared and my hospitality consulting business disappeared.
Oh, of course. Yes.
So FSB, Federation of Small Business, became my main my sole income. But since then, obviously, consulting has come back to life and started again. But what then happened over COVID was really interesting. You know, I had a huge contact base in the hospitality field and knew lots of people, big mid-businesses, small businesses, everybody, and was able to help and support them. And then I realised through FSB, well, why don't you help? Why don't you start to learn about other businesses and get involved with other businesses? And because I was having so many conversations with small business, people were phoning me all the time saying, Jane, I need somebody. Can you help me? I need a plumber, or I need an accountant, or I need a solicitor. Or somebody said, I'm getting married. And because of COVID, it was all, you know, cancelled 3 or 4 times. So I basically said, I need a person doing flowers, I need somebody for makeup, I need somebody to make a cake. And what was fantastic was I was able to recommend to them all of those people in their local area because I'd been in contact with them. So that's where I started being the business connector.
Is that through the FSB or is that through your own business? Because you don't... if I say to you, hey, Jane, I know X, Y and Z, you know, this person who you might be able to work with, I haven't actually earned any money from that, have I? All I've done is connect you together, which is lovely, but not if I need a pork pie for dinner tonight and I'm running short of cheese and wine.
I know somebody.
But I have to have the money to pay that person, yes. Don't I? So is this something that you're doing as as a consequence of the people that you're meeting, as a consequence of your business, or is this something that you have managed to build in to your business as an income generator? Because I tell you what, I think that is so difficult.
It is. The idea came. I came to the idea while I was in while it was COVID, and I talked to a couple of people who helped to mentor me, and we came up with a number of scenarios, but none of them sat right with me.
Mm.
Because it's interesting, going back to what you were saying about you would refer somebody and it seems a bit much to try and monetize that.
Yeah, yes.
But the key thing is, the connection is part of both businesses, part of being a membership advisor of FSB and hospitality consulting, and there's no fee for that. But if somebody's got a product or a sale, a product or a service that they want selling, majority of the time, those people need help and support in selling it. So there's the opportunity, and what I'm exploring now is commission for future business, and that's how that goes forward. So if you need tequila, I know a good guy for tequila. I know a good guy for wine. That's the way to go forward with it and monetize it, is actually to add value to the business. So you make one or two referrals, but if you're actually helping them with multiple, then there's kickbacks. But equally as much, Sian and Adele, the amount of referrals that I receive myself from other people, while we're talking here, I am listening to you and I am focused, but there's been a message from somebody who has just referred somebody to me for my business because they've been helped by me. So it's a difficult thing to say, let's put some money on it.
Now I've got it. So it's part of the whole of what you do to add value.
Yes.
And it brings people to you and it brings business to you, just not directly.
No, that's right.
It doesn't bring money to you directly. We all have to have income. I think sometimes we get a bit coy about this, don't we? And being in business, you can't. You got to earn money. If you don't earn money, you're not actually a business, are you? You've got to put food on the table.
I'll give you an example. A gentleman who has got a fantastic service has had a huge amount of referrals from me. And the other day we were having a one-to-one catch-up. And he said, what's your plan? And I said, over Christmas, I'm starting ebooks. And he said, I've got lots of experience in ebooks. Why don't we link up? I'll help you get started. Now, if in doing those ebooks, that would probably cost me a few £1,000 to invest, to understand. And he's going to do that for me for free.
Mm. So what you're doing is sort of looking at it in the round, holistically, as a whole thing.
Absolutely.
And that comes back to what you said your superpower was, and that's harvesting and having those conversations. And what I love about that, it's not always about instant gratification, instant this, where's the referral, where's the commission. And actually, it's all about nurturing, having the patience and harvesting those relationships. It's so refreshing to hear that against the backdrop of, well, I'll do that, so what's the commission, the referral? Stop having that conversation. It's all about nurturing, and I like that.
But sometimes, you know, we have to be practical here. Yeah. People have to earn money. Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to be... It happens especially a lot in the sort of spiritual, sort of health-based, that sort of thing. You know, where people don't... They give stuff away for nothing. They don't want to take money for their services because they think it's a gift. You know, I mean, what you do is a gift, but you somewhere along the line you have to earn money. And I don't think if it's direct or if it's indirect, but somewhere along
the line it has to
form part of them. Mm-hmm. And what I also love is that you know what you are really good at. You know what your gift is and you're using it.
Yeah.
I like that. Yes. So, hospitality-wise, are you back in that now?
Yes, slowly. It started up, it died a death, and it's come back again now. Now, if you've done your job right, there's nobody to talk to in December because they're all too busy, because they're busy with Christmas. And obviously the idea before Christmas is to make sure that they are busy in January, February and March. But yes, I'm back into it. And it's great to be back into it because it's been my life for so long.
I get that. Yeah, absolutely. As a sideline, I'm also in a pub. So, it's been challenging.
Looking on the hospitality side of things, is there a piece of advice that you could give out? I'm not sure if you can do this because I know every business is different, but it has been a rocky road for the hospitality industry, hasn't it? And you say it's been, you know, coming out, it's sort of been up and down. Is there one piece of advice that you think you could give somebody in the hospitality industry as we come now into our sort of probably first full year out of COVID and moving down through Christmas and what's coming in 2023?
Yeah, it's people. Connect with your customers, spend more time with your customers. You've got to think about your profit, but what you've got to do is to add that value to your customers by spending more time with them and doing the things that don't necessarily cost money. You know, remembering somebody, trying to remember when they came into your restaurant last time or your hotel last time, making them feel special. It doesn't cost anything. The problem with the industry is that we're all so stressed and busy that we forget sometimes to just take a few seconds to be nice. And that sounds very, very funny thing to say because it's called hospitality, but it's a very low profit driven business. And so therefore it tends to be a very stress related business. But if we can just stand back and take time to remember that the customer is the most important person, then you're laying a great foundation for the future.
So take a breath, remember who you're doing it for.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, I was just going to build on that. So my other business that I run is obviously a local pub. And you're right, it's building that relationship at the front of the bar because I actually work behind the bar, literally upstairs, and I'm seeing rising energy costs. I'm seeing supply chain issues. I'm seeing gas go through the roof, things like fryer oil. And sometimes it's really hard to manage that tension. And then actually say, do you know what, I'm going to have to put my prices up. So it's been a real challenge for hospitality, and I do that in my local little world, but it's really challenging. And when you talk to others around that hospitality, it's managing that tension, isn't it? And also then the turnover of staff, etc. So it's brilliant at what you do, and it's probably never been a pivotal time for it because it's really tough managing the front of the bar, knowing the costs behind the bar. I'm seeing costs that I'd never imagined, so it's a real challenge.
I think if I may come back on that, I think somebody said something to me once a long time ago. They said, you know, when we talk about ambience and we talk about lighting in restaurants, does anybody ever say anything nice about the lighting when the lighting's right? And they don't. They say something about the lighting when the lighting isn't right, because that's when they notice it. And so the fact is that price is only something people focus on when the other intangible things are missing.
Yeah.
So if you focus on those intangible things, we all talk today about marketing and position and USP, but actually it's those intangible nice things that make it special, and you won't even realise the reason why you want to go to Adele's pub. And I didn't even know you had a pub, Adele, so I'm going to have to come and visit you.
I've just realised something, and I'm actually going to admit it on air. So I've written it down here because I thought I'll just scuttle off and just like keep it to myself, because it's a bit of a sort of no-brainer, and I can't help thinking that I should have realised this before. But you may or may not know, Adele certainly knows, that I run monthly events. I run events under a banner called Cafe in the Calm. And they are psychic health and beauty fairs. We have therapists. We have really nice coffee. It's a cafe. You can come in. We have cakes. You can sit down. We have free adult colouring. And it's an experience. And I've been thinking of it as exhibitors and events. And it's not. I'm in the hospitality industry. I am not in the event business. No. I'm in the hospitality industry. Mm. And I think that's actually knowing what industry you're in is probably a key to success. Yeah. Bit like sort of, I think McDonald's is in the property industry, isn't it? It's not in the burger industry. Okay. Well, thank you for that, Jane. I've just turned my business around there.
But I think that what it shows you is your journey. When you first started those off,
They were events.
And actually, you created a community. And again, you've got industry drift. It's because of how you've started, how you've grown. You've done that organically. But again, can you see why we bring our guests on? I've got solutions for my other business, and so have you.
I did think about not mentioning that. I thought, oh, look, I'll just keep that to myself. No, pretend I had noticed.
But that's where you started. Mm. With one thing, and you organically, and the success you've done, and the community you've built, has switched industry. Mm. But you don't, because that happened organically.
It's the hospitality industry. There, people are coming in, they're eating, they're drinking, they're staying, they're sitting down,
talking,
they're having an experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. And that's what it's all about. It's about an experience, rather than just eating and drinking. Yeah. It's about an experience.
Mm. And I knew that. I just hadn't attached the words hospitality industry to it. I knew it was about the experience, both for the exhibitors and the visitors. I had that. I knew because of the numbers of people that we have returning. But when you give it a different label... I think I like that word. I'm going to write that label. When you give it a different label, when you put it in a different category, it makes you suddenly think about it differently.
Even like the marketing and the socials from it.
Yeah, it does. You start thinking about it differently. Mm. You see, we always get something, don't we?
We love our shows.
Okay, thank you. I've totally lost. I'm so enamoured by myself and realising that. Now I've totally lost where we were. Where were we, Adele?
We were talking about hospitality coming back in again.
We were, yes. So I asked you what's... Yes, so and remembering business, the people.
Yeah. And the connector and business. Because, again, we talk a lot... When we talk to a lot of women on the show about business development strategies, network and connecting, sometimes it doesn't always come easy to some of the women we talk to. And they go to an event and is it networking or is it you're learning something? And sometimes it's something that we're tackling, aren't we? Because women aren't always that confident,
and people are sometimes trying to use networking for something that it isn't.
No, absolutely. As
business support, it's not business support, but I see a lot of people using it as business support because they don't have anything else. And in fact, I've done it. You know, you may be feeling a bit crappy, and you know if you go there, there's going to be 5 or 10 people that you know that you can chat with, and it might boost yourself up a bit. But that's not why people are at networking. And, you know, that's not why people don't go along to events to listen to your crap. Sorry, I don't mean that horribly. I don't, do they? To sit in a corner with me going, oh, God, my business plan isn't working. What am I going to do? They've gone there to meet other people and to perhaps get a little bit of inspiration and motivation themselves. So, yes. I'm not sure why we went down that rabbit hole either. No, I'm totally not focused.
Now, what we're talking about, the way that Jane works with business connectors, referrals, and that's how real business works. And it's we've been talking to women about how that actually works and making sure you're clear, strategic, who you're talking to, your business partners connected. But also something that Jane picked up that I don't think we're always that good at is follow-up. Follow-up. You meet somebody, I'll message you. And you think, oh, they haven't messaged me, they're busy. Well, go and message them back and say we met, and being a bit more on the front foot sometimes about being connected and not being shy to say we met, you said you were in a contact, I thought I'd reach out. It's okay, isn't it,
to
do that? Yeah, follow up.
Jane, tell us a little bit about the FSB. So it attracted you, and you are... an honest person. I know that. That's sort of where you come from, is your honesty and your integrity. And so you are now connecting business people with the FSB. So somewhere along the line, I know that you have a... what's the word? Thing.
Shared values.
That'll do. You can see what I have. Shared values. You know what they're doing and you like what they're doing and you know that they bring value to businesses. I sound like an FSB advert, don't I? But what was it in particular that attracted you, and why are you still there, and why? What is it? What's the reasoning behind you recommending people to them?
So I stumbled across FSB. I was asking myself the question: there must be a better way to do this. And it was every business goes through a good time and a bad time. I had a subcontractor who failed to pay me. It was a huge, huge, huge sum of money. It made a big hit on my P&L, and I was trying to find a solution rather than solicitors and debt recovery and all of these things, because they cost so much money. And I stumbled across the FSB, and because they have a comprehensive debt recovery program in there. So that's how I myself became a member of the FSB. And then in 2019, when I became a membership advisor, the reason I wanted to do that role was because I felt, having been in the membership myself, that the FSB really does do what it says on the tin. You know, it's not a lot of money to join, and you get huge bang for your buck, and it's open and honest. And I like the fact that people are accessible. If you ask for something, you know, if you need to get in contact with somebody, everybody's available, and it's completely focused on trying to help small business to move forward. So it's not an organisation that's trying to become rich through memberships. It's an organisation that's trying to use memberships to actually benefit the businesses, as it were, putting the businesses on the front foot, and being in the background themselves. That's what I really like.
We just ought to say briefly what the FSB do, and I'm going to say it from my point of view, so there's no, you know, I'm sure this isn't in the brochure, but they run networking groups, they run training things online, yes, offline. They have support with things like legal advice, which I've actually used, legal advice, HR support, you know, so if you've got any of those sorts of, I don't know, tricky issues that come with just running a business sometimes, you know, you may not think you need legal advice, or and you may have the insurance. So I have insurance for legal support, but I actually found using the FSB legal the advice line really sort of quite quick and easy, and it didn't go into all of the carry-on that you sometimes have to do through your legal business insurance. There weren't quite as many boxes to tick, but I still got some really good advice that I could use, and I went and used, and that was that. So, and I think it's that, and just about the staying connected and also being connected with other businesses is something else that I like. So is it a community interest company?
No, it's a not-for-profit.
Oh, right, so it's a there you go, it's a not-for-profit, and I've got a lot from it, and it's got a lot of UK members, but it is only in the UK, guys. So if you're in the States, I'm sure you have something similar to that, you know, go and find out, because I found it incredibly useful.
Again, I've seen the work that they do, that I got involved early from a health and wellbeing and being fit for business, supporting all parliamentary groups, and sitting in front of government for us, sitting in front of local government, and also business schools as well, because I'm doing business in Brighton, the law and business school talk there, and obviously I was at Kent business school and Tim does some work there. So for me, that's being able to represent me as a business, but also I've been asked for my opinion on menopause policy for something to do with all parliamentary. So for me, I think that's where it adds huge amount of value.
I'm glad that you come back on that, because the element that I think so often gets missed, Sian and Adele, in the FSB, is the amount of effort that we put into lobbying nationally, and the things that we can do. You know, as a small business, as somebody said to me the other day, the word he used was, it's quite isolated. What this is a community. So, you know, what I like about it is when I send somebody a welcome email or letter, I always put welcome to the FSB family. Because I do think it is a family. It's a family of like-minded people. And if you have a challenge, this morning a small business called me, they've got a problem, it's related to land value and all those kind of things. And it's really helpful to know that I can put them in touch with somebody in the FSB whose job is to liaise with local councils and local government and sort those problems out for them. Where, you know, so it just gives them peace of mind. So it's a, it, and I think that that's a very underrated part of FSB.
Mm-hmm. It's quite difficult, listener, because I don't want to name names, but there are a number of organisations that look as though they are, let's say, official, that support or are supposed to support local business, And I have belonged to some of those, and I'm not going to name them. But it's not quite the same as the FSB, and I don't really know what the difference is, to be honest. So I don't know what advice to give to you if you're in another country and you don't have this sort of organisation, is to, I think, go and speak to some members, actually.
Go and have
a chat to some members, because I've come across so many organisations where they aren't necessarily not-for-profit, although they are associated with sort of, they look like they're associated with government, but they just don't operate in the same way. And chat to some members and see what they're actually getting out of it. Because I know if somebody came to me and said, well, you know, why are you a member of the FSB? Why do they sponsor your stuff? Why do you work with them? I'd say, oh, I'll get this, that and the other. I might actually name individual people. I might say, oh, actually, Jane's really helpful. And Tim, who is our local guy, you know, he's really helpful. He knows lots of people. He'll recommend you. He'll put you in touch with somebody. Even if you don't think, you know, even if you haven't asked, it's actually, are these people who work together well? And it's that sort of thing, isn't it? So ask people before you go and join anything, because there is a cost involved. There's your time. Even if your membership is free, there's still your time. So go and find out what actually comes out of it. And if you talk to two or three members and they can't come up with anything apart from we have online networking meetings, then they might maybe go and look somewhere else. Yep. So, thank you for that, Jane. I'm going to ask you now to give us some contact details as to how people can contact you. It doesn't really matter whether they are looking for your advice and consultancy for what you do with the hospitality industry or about the FSB. If you can just say, how can people contact you?
The best thing is to link up with me on LinkedIn, which is Jane Martin 265. So it's the LinkedIn link and Jane Martin 265. And I'm known there as the Business Connector. Love to meet you there. Or jane.martin@fsb.org.uk.
We haven't finished. Oh. No. We haven't finished yet. So, Jane, what is your top tip for this topic? And I'm not sure what this topic is. See, this is what happens when you write down planning notes. What is your top tip for the hospitality industry?
Add value. Focus on adding value. And the one other thing, I'm sorry, it's not one top tip.
That's okay.
I'm very keen to see hospitality go back to seasonal. So I'm very keen for hospitality to start sourcing their, not just their produce locally, but actually focusing on seasonal produce. When it's gone, it's gone. We need to get away from this needing to import strawberries in December from somewhere.
I agree.
And if we want to import strawberries and people want to have strawberries in December, then hey-ho, hospitality, charge people the right price for it. Mm-hmm. Because we've got great produce in this country, but come and eat our strawberries when they're in season.
That's different as well, isn't it?
I like that.
Yes, I do. That's really a super tip. Mm. Because it's going to taste better anyway, isn't it? Mm. If it's something that's fresh from down the road, out the garden, it's going to taste better.
Yeah.
I love that. What is your... It doesn't end, does it? It's relentless, isn't it? What is your top tip for being in business, as a businesswoman, your top tip?
Believe in yourself.
And what do you know now that you wish you'd have known when you started out?
Ooh, that's a tough one. What do I know now?
I know. It is, isn't it?
I'm amazing.
The amazing Jane Martin from JAM Marketing and Hospitality Management and Business Connector, Business Solution Solver, FSB... what would we call her?
Guru. She's just my go-to
FSB guru. Thank you so much for being on the show today. We will see you all again. No, we won't be back next week. We're having a week off, aren't we? We are. We're having a week off. She's off boozing.
I'm at an FSB.
I'm going to have been boozing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I've got a bit of heavy night the night before, so I'm not planning on being conscious until at least 3. So we will see you in the week after that. So take care, everybody. Have an amazing time in between, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Tune in next week to the Women in Business radio show for more stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you grow your business.